All right. We're in heavenly places. What is it? Page 319. It's dated November 8th, today's date, if you actually have the book, booklet. And the title for this page is called No Boundary Lines. And it starts off with John 8, verse 12. And if you're wondering, like if you wanted to read along, thank you, Brother Race, for putting the link in the room, or you can look at the top of the chat room, way up on the top. It says home, heavenly places, Sabbath and evening. Oh, yeah. So just quick, you know, click heavenly places. You'll get there, too. Anyway, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. Which reminds me, we'll have the light of life. Wow. Light of life. They ran across this thing. And I read about this, I don't know, 10 years ago or something like that. And but they recently did some MRI scanning, or they did the electron, I don't know, whatever microscope gets way down in there. And they found something in blood, human blood, animal blood. Well, actually, I think it was only in human blood, now that I think about it. Yeah, it was only in human blood. And even if the blood has been dried up, you know, like say they get blood out of a sealed tomb of a mummy, and they happen to get blood in there somehow, even though the mummies, they have a tendency to embalm. But even modern-day embalming methods, well, their technology was obviously better than ours in a lot of ways, but they didn't have the electronic well, they may have. You know, I mean, they found batteries and stuff like that in there, and I know they had amazing technology and the ability for flight. But when was it Cleopatra that committed? Who was it that committed suicide with Mark Antony and all that stuff? Was that Cleopatra? Because she had this library that had all the books of the world. It was Cleopatra. Okay, yeah, it was all the books of the world from the thousands of years in the past, and with all the documentation of the technologies and stuff like that. But it's obvious to me what I see happening there was the devil made sure that that building burned down right before she committed suicide. That building was destroyed when they had that, you know, that when they were going back and forth with the ships and fighting, and Mark Antony died and all that. But anyway, they found blood that was, you know, I won't say fossilized, but they, you know, it's human blood, of course, and even though it's dried up, when they added saline to it under a microscope, they found something in the blood that was still alive, and they couldn't kill it. I think I mentioned this before in a chat room, where they took blunt force like hammers, and then they looked in the microscope, and the thing was still moving around. A whole mess of them were moving around. And then they tried hitting it with heat, like lasers. Couldn't hurt it. Didn't bother it a bit. Radiation. Didn't bother it a bit. You know, water, of course, ain't going to bother it because it's in a liquid environment. And so they tried all sorts of methods to kill it, and they couldn't kill it. And then I look at this, what Jesus says here in John 8:12 about, and this is one of the reasons that Jesus says not to eat the blood of the animals and whatnot, because, now, I guess this could be in animals as well, now that I think about it as well. I don't know, because I know animals will have, I would assume, eternal life when we get to heaven. The animals on the planets and stuff like that, there's no reason for them to die because it's perfect everything. Everything's perfect. There is no degraded atmospheres, smog and pollution and, you know, rotten food. And so when I see this, where Jesus says, but they shall have the light of life, these things that are moving around in the blood looked like little stars, they said. It was little balls of light. And they really couldn't, you know, figure out. And so, well, them being not Christians, they couldn't figure it out, of course. But I'm wondering if that's what that is, you know. And eating it is going to defile the body if it is from an unclean animal, of course. Or a clean animal. You can't eat the blood if it's from a clean animal either. So, Yeah, man, I don't even want to talk about cannibalism. Boy, it's just, you may as well put some psychotropic drugs in your body. That'll really mess with your head. You're eating other people. So, anyway, she goes on to say, those who follow Jesus will be laborers together with God. They will not walk in darkness, but will find the true path where Jesus, the light of the world, leads the way. And as they bend their steps Zionward, the moving on in faith, they will attain onto a bright experience in the things of God. The mission of Christ, so dimly understood, so faintly comprehended, that called him from the throne of God to the mystery of the altar of the cross of Calvary, will more and more unfold to the mind. And it will be seen that in the sacrifice of Christ are found the spring and principle of every other mission of love. So amen and amen to that. Hold on a second here. Let me get some, see if I can pop it by the mic. Wait. I just like that sound. Oh, it's the last two. They're white willow bark. I guess nature's aspirin. You know, go out there and start chewing on your willow tree. I bit down on something when I was having lunch today. You know, I never got that tooth pulled. I did get the infection cleared up by just using natural methods. But I guess the tooth is still, you know, sensitive. And boy, I bit down on something today, and it's just like, it's a whole new experience in jaw pain. And so I've been taking, see now I haven't done it in a while, and so I'm getting the pain coming back now. Because I wonder if I crack something in there. It hurts. But it's not as bad as it was earlier. But the natural stuff that Fran, you know, you're supposed to make tea out of it, but I don't make tea. What I do is I take a bunch of it and just put it between the cheek and the gum, kind of like chewing tobacco, like some people do. I never did that, but way in the back. I mean, you know, they usually put the chewing tobacco up front. I put it way in the back where the tooth is, and it cleared up the infection. And but it took 3 weeks doing it in the morning and evening every day. 3 weeks. I mean, the pain was almost gone instantly. And just like with this, I put the stuff on there and the pain goes away. But right, you can't talk with that stuff in your mouth. And so I figured I'd just do it now with the natural aspirin. I hope I got more of these. White willow bark. Yeah, before my head explodes. Yeah, cloves. I'm thinking, the ingredients doesn't say it has cloves, but for some reason, this thing deadens the pain when I put it in there. And I don't do painkillers. They just get me nauseated. I've never tried them. I haven't tried them in years and years. I mean, you know, when I had other teeth pulled. Anyway, she goes on to say, the mission of Christ, so dimly understood, so faintly comprehended, that called him from the throne of God to the mystery of the altar of the cross of Christ. Well, I already read all that. So let me go down here where it says, Jesus taught his followers that they were both debtors, both to the Jews and the Greeks, to the wise and the unwise, and gave them to understand that race distinction, caste, and lines of division made by man were not approved of heaven and were to have no influence in the work of disseminating the gospel. And this is where I have issue with guys like Sword of the Spirit, I think his website is, and he's got Vatican Assassins he wrote. I think that's the same guy. And these guys are Seventh-day Adventists. And they declare that the white race is superior. And they base that on, you know, the prisons and stuff like that. It says, yeah, well, the prisons, you know, the majority are black, yeah, but I have a tendency to believe the majority of the police are prejudiced, too. So, but still, irregardless of whether or not these young men are, you know, guilty or not, that doesn't make any difference. The fact of the matter is, if you can't get along with each other down here, what are you going to do when you get home? And so this is where, because I used to be friends with that Sword of the Spirit guy. As a matter of fact, he used to put all my stuff on his site, and I made some graphics for him. That's where I made that sword with the purple cloth wrapped around it, and with the two gems that blink next. Well, he put the gems next to it. They're just gifts. Yeah, thank you, Kevin. It's Eric John Phelps. That's one of them. But there's another guy, too, that, who was it? I don't think, it may not be Vatican Assassins. Well, I think it might even be Vatican Assassins because him and I butted heads on something big time because I used to be friends with him, too. But and I know a lot of people think I'm strange, and I says, well, fine, I don't care. I don't care how influential someone is. If they're not going to walk with Christ, I can't yoke with them, you know. Let's stay on topic here, please. But anyway, yeah, like mini Hitlers, exactly, John and Mary. And it looks like a eugenics kind of a thing, too. But I just don't get that. I mean, you know, because they're going to say, well, some of these guys are stupid. It says, yeah, I know a lot of white people are pretty dumb, too, you know. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. You still got, you know, the same gray brain, the same red blood. Your gallbladder still got a gray tint to it. So does your spleen kind of looks a little yellow, right? Isn't the spleen got like a yellowish tint? And we're all the same color on the inside. I mean, you're just dealing with the skin color. Everybody's got a problem with that. You know, I just don't get that. Never did. Never will. Even before I was a Christian, I wasn't prejudiced, you know. And I hung out in biker bars. And most of the guys that I knew in the biker bars, they were very prejudiced. But I thought that it still didn't make any sense to me. But I didn't care because I just wanted their money. So I'd just shoot stick, you know. So anyway, she says the disciples of Christ were not to make distinctions between their neighbors and their enemies, but they were to regard every man as a neighbor who needed help. And they were to look upon the world as their field of labor, seeking to save the lost. Jesus had given to every man his work, taking him from the narrow circle, which is selfishness, with which his selfishness has prescribed, annihilating territorial lines and all artificial distinctions of society. He marks off no limited boundary for missionary zeal, but bids his followers extend their labors to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so this is where you're going to have issue with guys like Eric John Phelps and his type. Eric John Phelps, by the way, he was involved in that. One of the pages on my website that gets one of the most, the biggest amount of hits on my website is the Black Pope page. And that's a discussion between Eric Phelps and another guy. And I put a disclaimer up there because one day I was reading it and I says, whoa, you know, because they're a little bit off color there, you know, off the beaten path when it comes to Christ-likeness. But I couldn't see them guys going into bad neighborhoods, or whether it's white or black, because, you know, you get bad neighborhoods in white areas too, you know. But I couldn't see them going into certain nations, like, say, like Africa. These guys wouldn't preach in Africa. And I says, you're going to be judged for that now. You know, it's just. But hopefully they're completely ignorant of it, and it's not just a prejudice, you know, mindset that they have, which appears to be the case because of, I don't know. But and the fact that, you know, Jesus being Jewish and in that region, you know, a little tan, if you will, I don't see how they can see past that. And he's the creator. He's the one that made the decision as to what color the people would be. So, going on. She says, the Lord Jesus is our efficiency in all things. His Spirit is to be our inspiration. And as we place ourselves in his hands to be channels of light, our means of doing good will never be exhausted. For the resources of the power of Jesus Christ are to be at our command. And I love that. Because that's what we're all striving on to. We all want to be part of that number that sees Christ glorified. And this is what, I mean, 3, 4, or 5 times a day I pray about this because, you know, there's so many loved ones that I care for that need miracles in their lives. And it's not just sickness either that they're dealing with. There's all sorts of, problems in people's lives. You know, everything from addiction to downright stupidity, you know, fleshly stupidity. And so she says that we may draw upon his, you know, Christ's fullness and receive of that grace which has no limit. And I got to say, you know, how many of us And this is where I kind of like to encapsulate or capture or even bottle the mindset whenever this happens. And what I mean is, there have been times in my life, you know, where guns are stuck in your face, or a friend is threatened, or a very dangerous situation is coming upon you, like an automobile crash or something, like you're driving, or whatever, you know. And in a split second, you know, without a doubt, that everything's going to be okay because your God is in control. Why can't we walk like that 24/7? Why is it we got to get our adrenaline pumped up to get the cold chills going before we start hitting our knees in our hearts hitting our knees? Yeah, because I know many of us have had experiences like that where, you know, you're looking at certain death and all of a sudden the Lord turns it around and prevents it. You know, why can't we have that faith at that moment all the time? This is what I keep praying about, and I want to have that. I don't want to have it just when I need it, because I need it always. You know, especially I'd like to be able to do what the apostles do, and we will when the latter rain falls more abundantly if we're worthy receptacles of it, because they had the former rain. And they were able to walk up to a man and know just by looking at him that they can be healed because they have the faith that will see their healing. And yeah, that's what I said, because they had the faith. And what I'm getting at is, I was like, where was this? You go into, what is this, Acts? Yeah, Acts chapter 14, verse 9. It says, the same heard Paul speak. Yeah, and, well, let me backtrack a little bit. It's Paul's preaching someplace, and he goes, all right, here, verse 7. And there they preached the gospel, and verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. All right? And then verse 9 says, this guy heard Paul speak, because it says, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly, beholding him, in other words, now Paul's checking him out, looking at him, so who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when you see stuff like that, I'm wondering if this is even going to come up in the sermon tomorrow too. Because I just love the way the Holy Spirit likes to ad lib. But the same heard Paul speak who steadfastly, just Paul knowing, looking at him, perceiving, understanding that this guy had the faith to be healed. So there's two points I wanted to bring up there, is the fact that Paul understood and knew that this man can be healed because he knew he had the faith. And second of all, you got to have the faith to be healed. If you don't have the faith, is what this Bible verse is saying. If you do not have the faith, you won't be healed. Period. You could pray till you're blue in the face and you will not be healed. Case in point, how many times did Jesus say, your faith had made you whole? To every single solitary one of those people that came up to him and asked for a healing. You know, remember the woman that was with the issue of blood for 12 years? Or 11 years? I think it was 12, yeah. So amen and amen. Okay, getting back. And the only reason let's see. Oh, never mind. Okay, let me just knock that down. So she finishes by saying, the captain of our salvation at every step would teach us that almighty power is at the demand of living faith. He says, without me you can do nothing, but again declares that greater works than these shall you do, because I go on to my Father. And so, this is a sermon all on its own right here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pray about this one, because I'd love to make a sermon. I've been working on a sermon in regards to healing sermon, like how to be healed and stuff like that. But it goes in so many different directions because of everything that's happening with people that are sick, or with people that are addicted, or with people that are spiritually crippled. There's all these different ways to to go in a type of a sermon. I've been working, I mean, every now and then another thought comes to mind and I throw that in that sermon that I've been working on for years. And I just, and I'm literally for years. I mean, I just, once in a while, I'll get a thought, you know, this thought comes to mind. I've got 300 or 400 sermons I've never spoke. I start them and I never finish them. You know, but, I never finish the notes. I know if I just brought them to a pulpit, the Spirit would start moving. But I'd like to be a little more prepared now, getting old. But anyway, let me just mail this to myself. So don't send. Faith. I'll just name it Faith. Exit without sending. There we go. It's probably making all these dings and stuff like that. I can't hear it. All right. Well, there you go. And I hope and pray you were blessed. So give me a minute.